Welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Justin Schaller, and I'm joined with Pastor Dennis White in the studio. And today we'll be talking about the mission field, defining the mission field, what is the mission field, and our own personal stories of being on the mission field, how we were called to the specific place that both of us went and served, different types of missions in the sense of short-term mission trips, long-term mission trips, medical missions, discipleship, church planning, all of that. So it's a great topic. Our ministry definitely has a focus on missions. If you're in this church for a long period of time, you're going to definitely have the urge, desire, maybe vision to be a part of missions work. And there's a lot of opportunities, which is amazing. And it's great to be in a church that is missions-minded, because that's definitely the mandate that we get in the New Testament from Christ and going out into all the world and preaching the gospel and making disciples. So it'll be a good show.
Yeah. It's the best way to learn geography is actually to travel there. You learn your world map.
I'm still struggling.
Just need to go more places.
Okay.
Amazing, to have the freedom. And I would say, like, for us as believers, we do have a lot of freedom, and maybe that freedom isn't there to do missions. And the whole point of this whole week really is missions, and to really encourage people who have never even thought about it. And missions can be a scary word, because I have to, become all things to all men, so I have to change who I am and move to a place that I hate. And honestly, it doesn't have to be like that, does it?
Yeah, no.
You don't have to be living in a little tiny, tree house in the middle of South America with some tribal people. Like, that's not necessarily missions, although it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also be, living in France in a big city in Paris, talking to people there. It could be right here in the United States also,
because
there's a lot of people in need. I read this morning that there are 17,000 unreached people in the world, and unreached meaning that they have zero churches and they do not have the Bible in their own language. And then I read
17,000 people groups, you said?
17,000, yeah, people groups.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
It definitely is.
And the largest people group actually is here in the West.
It's not that actually big of a number, to be honest.
Oh, really? Should I make up another number that's
bigger?
Well,
I mean, 17,000? I mean, I feel like if we just gave a charge in our churches here in Baltimore and the satellite churches in Baltimore or in Maryland, I feel like 17,000 is a pretty attainable number.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get to work.
Let's do it. Let's do it. We can at least talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
For you, you were a missionary in China.
Oh, you said it. I'm in trouble.
Oh, is that it? That's can't say good. That word. Okay. I thought they wanted us to say that word. No. Okay. So you were called to this specific place in the Far East. When did you go there? And how old were you? Were you married when you first went to this place in the Far East?
Yeah. I mean, you can... Yeah, we're in China. So we moved there... I mean, it seems like a long time ago. So we were probably 23, 24 years old when we moved there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my wife and I. We were married for a couple years. And honestly, we've been on, mission trips, meaning short-term mission trips. We've gone to conferences, both of us separately, but we never went out of the country together one single time.
So you decided to move to the other side of the planet for the first time without traveling together.
Yes, yes.
Okay. That's an adventure.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Why not?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It worked out, right?
It did.
We don't know the details, but it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were there for 7 years, and I mean, it was really a life-changing event. But that's the whole thing, is like, that's what a lot of people think missions is moving to a different country. Something like China, that the culture is completely opposite, and that's where God called me, but it could be someone else, somewhere else for someone else, And it was 7 years, which could be a lot of time. For some people, it's short. Like, we know people 20, 25 years, they've been on the mission field living in other countries. You know, so there's a large gambit of options for people to be missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you? I mean, you were not married, right, when you went?
I was not. I was in Bible school, so it was my fifth year in Bible school, and I had to do a practicum. And my major was missions, so I was a missions major. And part of the practicum for the last semester, you had to go overseas and be under a pastor, be on a team, which is like a great way to do it.
Yeah.
So for me, when I was in Bible school, I did a Bible study. I was under Pastor Kim Shibley, which I definitely think is important, especially if you're going to be in the ministry. Try to get under another pastor and work under him. And if you're in Bible school, really your training is in the classroom. You're learning theology, you're learning who God is, and then also practically on the weekend, you're going out and you're doing Bible studies. And
I was
fortunate enough to be able to do a Bible study for a number of years in Silver Spring on Saturday nights with Pastor Bailey, and Pastor Kim gave us that opportunity. So I felt maybe my second or third year being in Bible school, I really wanted to preach and teach. I just had a very strong desire to do that. So I wasn't good at it, I could say. I wanted to get better at it. I wanted to learn how to study. I wanted to learn how to prepare. I wanted to learn how to actually preach and teach in an effective way.
Yeah.
So I was just looking for a place that I could go where I could do that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily that I had a country. It wasn't necessarily that I had a people group.
Yeah.
It was more so that I knew that I was called to preach and teach, and I wanted a place to do that, which, to be honest, for me, that seemed very logical. And Pastor Stan came up to me and said, hey, if you come down, you can teach a Bible college class, which to me was like, what an amazing opportunity. I took that very seriously. So I went down in January. I was supposed to be there till May. I did a Bible college class, and then I was on the team. So I was there for 4 or 5 months, and then I loved it. After about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I said, I want to come back. And so I ended up being there for about 3.5 years. And the thing about being on the mission field with a guy like Pastor Stan is that he is so encouraging and supportive and basically pushing you out there and saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you feel like God's called you to be here, God's going to open opportunities and doors for you to use your gifts.
Yeah.
And just pray and just be on the alert to see if those doors open. And then they did. And, you know, over that period of time. And I was able to move to another city. I moved to a city called Trujillo, which is about 8 hours north of Lima.
Mm-hmm.
I live with a Peruvian family for about a year and a half. And,
oh, wow.
Just evangelize every night and did Bible studies in the evenings as well, and services, and it was a blast. It was, to be honest, I look back on it with so much I'm just thankful for that opportunity, because it's so easy not to do it. But for whatever reason, I feel as though if you're a man or a woman and you have gifts and you want to serve the Lord, then He's going to give you those opportunities, if it be in your local church, definitely. But then also in other branch ministry churches or church plant, go somewhere where you feel as though that God's going to allow you to be able to use your gifts.
Yeah.
Because that's really, I feel like, what team members are. They're team members that are there that have specific gifts for that particular body. And if you go to the right spot with the right leadership, you'll be able to use your gifts. And there's nothing better than being able to be in a place where God's using you and you're effective in your ministry. It's just an absolute blast.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. And there's nothing that brings you more joy, you know, honestly. Like, we had tough times, but again, looking back, it was so much fun. And the simplicity of life, simplicity of the gospel, like, you know, I miss the simplicity of the gospel. You know, telling people about Jesus, maybe they've never heard, or they've never been like confronted with a question before. I mean, it's a great privilege to do that, you know. And I was thinking, like, referring to this idea of what the mission field is, like, and you kind of brought it up. Like, the first thing that I thought of was is that the first thing about a mission field is that God is doing a work in you, And I think in both of our stories of the mission field, like, it wasn't like the mission, like us going and being missionaries were random acts, but it was almost like the next logical step, maybe you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Or it wasn't something like what changed was the location,
mm-hmm.
not what we're actually doing. And that's because God was doing a work inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you mentioned Bible school. I was also in Bible school. I was a youth pastor at a Korean church, you know, on Friday nights, Saturday nights, and Sunday mornings. You know, so what God was doing is that he was instilling inside of me like a certain kind of value system, which is really important. He was also instilling inside of me theology, or we could say doctrine, like how does God think? But he was also instilling inside of me like a capacity. Like in my life, like when I first started coming to church, like what is my capacity like? What is my theology like? And what is my value like? And if I don't find myself inside a church and God's not doing a work inside of me, then what's going to happen if I leave and become a part of a team on foreign soil, and I am confronted with different types of lust patterns, you know, that exist in those countries. Like, what's going to happen to me? It's dangerous, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
You know, so if I learn like God's value system, if I learn his theology, and you know, this is all like God is doing a work inside of me. I think that's really the first step of, you know, being on the mission field, or you know, what the mission field really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we were taught in Bible school, and it was reinforced in us, that you're not going to be any different than you are right now if you go to the mission field. So if you're not living a spirit-filled life now, and you're a local church, and you're not serving in your local church, there's not going to be any difference when you get to another country. And
yeah.
Obviously, I remember having this experience there at a certain point where, you know, just maybe struggling as a young guy, trying to figure out what I'm doing, don't want to be there. And then realizing that, you know, if I go back home, there's no difference. I mean, I'm not going to change if I go home. Or
you're still stuck with yourself.
Still stuck with myself. So the problem is never the place.
Yeah.
The problem is always yourself.
Yeah.
And those lessons that you learn, like in Bible school, there's all these theological terms that we use and we learn, but there might not necessarily be a opportunity for me to apply it in the immediate,
yeah.
In the sense of the cross, like what is the cross? What is the cross life? Well, if you're prepared and you have an understanding when you get there and you start to face suffering, and then you realize, oh, that's what the cross is.
Yeah.
The cross is, I don't maybe necessarily want to be here. These people are maybe not the people I want to be with. The team is not the team that I want to be on. The
yeah.
pastor, I have a problem with him. All of these things that we go through in our day-to-day here at home, it's going to be magnified there.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not going to have the same level of comforts or things that you can sublimate on
yeah.
that you can in your where you're from. But that's where you start to apply those principles and
yeah,
you see
exactly.
God show up and you say, I don't want to be here. I got a bad attitude. I want to go home. I want to go do what I want to do. I'm wasting my life, whatever it is. And you go, oh, I'm doing this for the purpose of Christ. It's because he first loved me and I love him, even though I don't sense it or feel it, but I want to die
yeah.
to my feelings, and I want to take up my cross by faith and obey him in obedience, and then you see him show up.
Yeah.
And then you see the outflow of the work of the Holy Spirit, and you see ministry. And when that starts to happen, and you can actually see you're affected by it, people are affected by it, you're doing it for God's glory and his namesake, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
go, thank you, Lord, that I was taught that lesson.
Yeah.
Because if I wasn't taught that lesson in Bible school, I would have been toasted.
Yeah.
I would have been long gone. I would have ruined something that is God's.
Yes.
I can with my bad attitude or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's what can happen with people that aren't, you know, people go, they're excited, I want to go on the mission field, but they're not trained. or they're not spiritually mature, maybe.
Yeah.
And then they go on a team, and maybe they're more of a deterrent than they are a help.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so it's amazing to see God do something inside of us, but there's this also the stigma, like, because you go in the mission field, you're like the cream of the crop, right? Or it could be that way, where people think that you're something amazing. But it's like God is doing a work inside of your life, and you're there on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the first part. But then you kind of grow into this thing where now God continues to do a work in you.
Mm.
Like, we don't go someplace thinking that we know everything and have all the answers, but we actually find kind of the opposite, where there is a sense, and I like that word maturity, there is a sense of maturity in our life where God is doing inside. We have an understanding. We learn not to quit. You know, that's a really important lesson when you're on the mission field. Don't quit because you want to. Sublimation was another word you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, like, where is the Starbucks?
Yeah.
I need a coffee.
Oh, we had that. But.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't. Yeah. When we first moved there, there wasn't a Starbucks in sight, you know? So we were going to KFC. And
Man, the Colonel really, like, he went around the globe, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, actually, KFC is much better in Asia than it is here.
Peru,
in the
too.
States.
Same thing. They call it Kentucky. Kentucky. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
much
so
better.
You're like trying to sublimate and, you know, appease your flesh. But you have to learn how to deal with that. And God is doing that inside of your life before and during and after. I mean, it's a whole process where God continues to do something. And I just love this, too. Like, I mean, you mentioned it, but this is something huge. And there's another thing, you know, between these two things. One is, like, is Bible school necessary for me to go in the mission field? You know, and then the other thing is, and more important than Bible school is, am I actually functioning in a missionary kind of capacity without being on the mission field? You know, and I love the stories of, like, Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, and these guys who, you know, intentionally kind of suffered. So they knew they had the faith to suffer when they were away.
Yes. That's a big one.
Yeah, so isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So, but they were like, they were practicing, they were doing, you know, like you said, they were functioning as a missionary without being on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
So for us in our ministry, we are church planters, discipleship makers. We start Bible schools like on day one. We don't do so much maybe medical missions, language missions, or educational missions. So we have like a kind of little area that we function in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, am I functioning in that here and now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I, you know, going evangelizing during the week?
Because
if I'm not doing it here, then how would I ever do it in another country?
Mm-hmm.
And the saying is, well, you know, here I am so busy, so I couldn't possibly do it here. But when I get there, you know, of course I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, that's not how, like, our value systems work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we make time for what we think is
important. Yeah, that's very true.
And if we're doing it here, then we're going to do it all the more. I believe it was John Wesley's mother, you know, was it 19 kids or something?
Yeah, something crazy.
Something crazy.
Like that.
And she said, like, you know, don't ever say that I'll read the Bible when I have more time. You read it as little as you can with the time that you have, so that way when you have more time, you read it all the more.
That's good. And
it's the same thing with evangelism. I mean, these church, these kind of Christian disciplines that we have, prayer and these things, like, if we're not functioning in those things now, you know, then how is that going to change when I'm on the mission field? So we see, like, the mission field is, like, you know, we could say, I mean, this you know, radio show could be very quick and say the mission field is this, and we could define it, but we're kind of missing the precursors to it, like God doing something inside of me, and then I begin to function inside of what he's doing in my life, you know?
Yeah. I like the life on the mission field personally, because it's singularly focused on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you and I both have experienced that, you longer than myself, but I do like that. I like that the mission, your year is kind of blocked. Like, it's one thing that I always liked about the mission field was that our year was always kind of blocked off by, like, 3-month segments.
Yeah.
So it was almost kind of like a school year in a sense. So you kind of had a start, a middle, and an end. mm-hmm. and then you would restart again. But here we are in the U.S., and there's never been a nation like the culture that we're living in now, which is like very busy. But Jesus tells us about that, which says that it's not necessarily, it is a cultural thing, but it's more a human heart, where he talks about the soils. And he says the thing that can choke out your faith are the concerns of the world, riches, security, worldly pleasures. So that's very easy. You have traps there and you have traps here.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just being aware of kind of the culture that you're in, the attack that can come that's going to steal your faith, steal your fervor, steal your focus. I feel as though being in the U.S., it's almost like a weekly thing in the sense of, what's my focus? Like, where are we going as a family, individually, as a church? Where are we going? Because it's so easy to get caught up in all of the things that you have to do, the responsibilities. On the mission field, you can still have that, but it's more you're there as a missionary. So you're there to evangelize, to teach, to preach.
Yeah.
But then you can have other attacks that can come in.
Yeah.
That's maybe not the same as here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I was reading John chapter 4, I believe it's verse 35. And Jesus, verse 34, I love this. It says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who has sent me and to finish his work." And I think of the mission field as that, right? Like, we are doing the work of Christ. Then he continues, says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the field, for they're already white with harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." I mean, and to me, this is like Jesus. You don't ever see the term mission field or missionary in the Bible, but we begin to see the heart of Jesus before Matthew 28, the Great Commission. You know, we begin to see it here early in his ministry, where he's talking about the harvest, and that there is a harvest and there's also harvest workers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that there's a need for people to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's imperative for us to understand this, because Jesus was talking to his disciples for the people in his immediate kind of circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also, I mean, Matthew 28, we say it for missions, go into all the world. So we're always thinking like out there. But Jesus starts this idea of harvest and missions work and this kind of idea. He starts it with his disciples in a small group, saying, like, here, these are the group of people that you need to minister to. And that is, like, my food is to do your will.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, to kind of connect the two thoughts, this is how it came in my mind. Like, there's all these distractions, and the attacks could be different, whether you're here, you know, functioning in the will of God, or if you're in a different country functioning in the will of God. That either way, like, what is your sustenance? What drives you is really to be doing the will of God and to minister to people.
Yeah, very good.
Right?
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. Isn't that the best?
Yeah, it is the best.
If you think about the most joy you have in life, it's really when you're in the place where God wants you to be.
Yeah.
And, like, for you, let me ask you this. Did you ever think when you were on the mission field in China that you'd be doing missions work in the U.S.?
Yeah, I didn't think that, no.
And why is that?
Well, I never thought I was going to leave, honestly. Mm. It was I wasn't even on the radar. Then all of a sudden, you know, we're gone. But the thing is, you know, what was instilled inside of our hearts was, this is something who we are, not what we're doing. You know, so we still begin to function the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's that stigma, and I've talked a little bit about it before in classes and with other people, that, you know, the mission field is, you know, you got to have a passport, go overseas and do mission work and commit, you know, years of your life to it. But really, I do think it's something that is in our hearts. And missionaries who are really missionaries, they may leave their location, but wherever they go, they're still ministers of the gospel. They're still doing the will of God, the work of Christ. You know, so I never thought I'd be in the United States, you know, pastoring or leading a small team and having a small church. But of course, on one hand, that's what would happen because, you know, this is who we are. It's what we do. You know, it's not, you know, this is my job, my application. Now my job's finished. And now let's go on to the next thing in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. That's well said.
Yeah.
I remember Pastor Mati was here. This is going back 15 years ago. And he was here for a period of time. I don't know if he was here for 6 months or 9 months or a year. And it was cool to see because he was just here in the church, but then he was involved in the church plant in Silver Spring.
Yeah.
And, you know, wherever he goes, he's a perfect example. Wherever he goes, you're making disciples. And yeah, you're that way. And that's a great way to say it. It's not about really where you are and what you're doing that defines you. It's more that who you are in Christ, and then you're just going to be obedient to him in whatever he has you to do wherever you are. And wherever there's people, then there's discipleship and there's opportunity. And that's a beautiful thing about what we do, because our currency is not based upon buildings. It's not based upon infrastructure. It's not based upon programs. It's based upon the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so I remember coming back from Peru, and I was married at the time, first year, and trying to figure out what to do next.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about moving to Dublin, Ireland. There was maybe an opportunity, but that didn't work out. But then I went, Rita Altham, actually on the Grace Hour, called in and said, hey, you know, we've been going to this nursing home down. It's right off Northern Parkway in Bologna. And I go, you know what? For whatever reason, I was actually in Florida with my in-laws for Christmas, and I heard Rita Altham call up, and it was like I was so drawn to, I go, I want to go with her. So I went with her, and I spent 3 years with Rita Altham and really was just pastoring these sweet, dear people in this nursing home.
Yeah.
And I had such a blast, like just as much fun as I was having if I was in Peru or in Fed Hill. It doesn't really matter so much. It's whatever God's called you to do, and it's all about people, your gifts, whatever God's given you as a gift. It's all about blessing other people in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It's all about preaching the gospel. And wherever you are, there's people.
Yeah.
And if there's people, and you have the Holy Spirit, you have a ministry, and go out. That's where it's at in life.
Yeah.
So if you're in Baltimore, people, you have the Spirit, go out. God's going to give you opportunities. And that's the fun thing about missions, because we always have a mission because we've been called into one. He's called us into his mission.
Yeah, perfect.
And wherever you are, you're in that mission. So just get about what he wants you to do. And when you do it, it's a blast. He's set it up so that you do his work, but you have the most fun when you're doing it.
Yeah.
As a man, you're saying, thank God I have some sort of barometer and direction where I'm going in life. And as long as I have this, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I don't need anything big. I don't need, just give me people, give me the Word of God, and just Holy Spirit breathe on it, and we'll have a blast doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that a lot of people, I mean, so we could say before the mission field, there is a mission in my heart. And a lot of people are missing the mission.
Yes.
Because they're not knit in the body.
Yes.
I mean, you think about your spirit, like how would you have known your spiritual gifts? You know, somebody kind of rolled the dice with you and let you preach.
Yeah, right.
And then Pastor Shibley is like, all right, this is your little baby.
Right.
You know, and maybe he was like hovering and telling you that he could do it better.
Or he maybe roasted me on that the other night too, after he's done preaching.
Or maybe he wasn't, you know, but the matter of fact is that, you know, there was a place for you to understand what the mission is,
mm-hmm.
and that was something beyond yourself, and it had to do with the body of Christ. Whether that be something, you know, quote unquote glorious as the mission field,
mm-hmm.
or something, you know, mundane and small as a nursing home. And mm-hmm. I use those words,
sure,
you know, like,
of course,
you know, like, as it's kind of silly actually, because like we're saying, there's no movement from like mission field to not mission field,
right?
It's I am who I am
mm-hmm.
in this location, then I move over here, and I'm still acting in faith
mm-hmm.
with what God is doing in my life
mm-hmm.
in this location. And over here there might be 100 people and they're getting saved on the streets, and over here it might be like 5 people you know, in a mental institute.
They're sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but it doesn't matter because I'm still functioning in, you know, faith with the gifts that God has given me. But you never know those gifts unless you're knit in the body of Christ.
Very well said. Yeah, you need other people. You need other people around you that edify you in whatever your gift is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to be honest, there's going to be people that aren't doing, you know, most of the church doesn't do what you and I do in the sense of pastoring.
Yeah.
But you have a certain gift, whatever that is, of faith, of prayer, of giving, of wisdom, of knowledge, or whatever it is. You have that gift. And if you ask a believer in the church, what's your favorite thing to do? It's probably going to be what their spiritual gift is.
Right.
And not everybody is going to be a cross-cultural missionary.
Yeah.
But the ones that are called to do it, when they go and do it, they're going to have the best time. You know, like it was always funny when people, when you come back from the mission field and it's like, oh, these servants, like they're coming back from the mission field. And you're thinking, no, it's like, I feel kind of bad for you guys, like living here in the States. You know, like life is actually way better.
Yeah.
But it's more of like wherever God has you, that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
And because that's where the life of God is, that's where he's using you. And not everybody's going to be called to be a missionary, but there are some that will be. And if you are, then just go after it with your heart. So let me ask you this. If you had someone like at NBCNS that you're teaching and they're thinking about mission field, like how do you kind of pinpoint where should I start even thinking? Should I be thinking about certain countries? Should I be thinking about people groups?
Yeah.
How should I go through that process to find out where I should go?
Yeah, I mean, I think for everybody, obviously the story is a little bit different, but there are some maybe, you know, flags that we can look at for direction, right? And I think one of those is first, you know, are you active in your own church? Because if you're not active in your own church, maybe going on the mission field could be the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Because the devil is real and he attacks people who go on the mission field, right? So you want to find somebody who's active in their church and encourage them to be active. And then you want to encourage them to really just start to figure out what their gifts are. But when it comes to like, okay, I got that down. Like, what's the next thing? It's for me, honestly, I don't care where I go. And I would tell somebody, you know, if somebody says, well, I have to go to Africa and I have to go to this country and do that, I'm like, you're ridiculous, you know, because for you as a young person, and we could take the word Bible school student and take that completely out and just put in you as a person that is seeking to go on the mission field, like, what is your purpose on the mission field? And more often than not, when there is somebody who is young or they're new to the mission field, they're going and they need to be discipled themselves. So I'm always looking for somebody that can disciple me over where am I actually going.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some great examples of people like that in our own church where I could be discipled and be on a foreign mission field and have a lot of fun, right? But the opposite could happen is that I go where I want to go because God has called me here, but then I'm there alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, okay, well, what are you doing here? Is there fruits? Are you being discipled? Are you spiritually being sustained yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, like kind of what's being poured into that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to think less about the location and more about their spiritual well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the end of the day, I mean, you know, the mission field, can we look at it two ways? Like one is there's a bunch of people groups, you know, that need to be reached. So let's go reach them and like, hurry up, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
But really the proper idea is like God is going to minister to people after I'm gone and he's done it before I'm here. So in one sense, I'm not really needed. So I need to be more aware of like my spiritual well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to find that you have a lot to give and you're going to be more fruitful in that kind of a environment versus alone by yourself in a place that you feel God has called you to.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I don't think that's a good way to do it. I mean,
yeah.
Because in the New Testament, they always went out in a group. And then the church, the local church, was a huge supporter of whoever they were sending out. I mean, just using Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. So they go out in a group, and wherever Paul went, he was always with people. There's no example of like a lone ranger.
No, there's not.
Whatsoever.
And the whole time, and after every trip that he returns back to his home church,
mm-hmm.
and he gives a word
mm-hmm.
of how it went,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's like, you know, being, there's accountability there.
Right.
Right, but there's also stirring the vision up and bringing people with him.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
That's a good thing as well that we're in a church that there's a lot of missions trips. I love how Pastor Ronaldo and the missions department here has really made a push for missions in America. So they do summer harvests, they're going to South Dakota, they're going to where they go to Arkansas or Alabama
in
the summer.
Yeah.
So that is just, those are a blast. That's a lot of fun just to hop in a van or get a flight and go with a group of people and just learn that way and evangelize. It's such a great experience.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, you have all these guys here that are traveling. You know, the pastoral staff here, they're always traveling somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're going to conferences and just hop on and just see if you can go and be a part of that. And you do it by faith. The thing about missions trips, and it's kind of interesting because I'm trying to like figure it out in my own life, but there's always a reason why not to go, a reason why not to go. So, you know, you're always thinking, you know, what's the value of me going? It's very hard to try to figure that out.
Yeah,
because even if you do go and you go on the trip, is it for my own experience? Is it for me blessing the church, whatever it might be? And logically, you're trying to figure that out. Why should I be going on this trip? But when you go and you come home, I've never gone on one of those trips and then came home and like, I shouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
I've always been blessed by it because it's your brothers and sisters. You're built up in faith in ways that you might not even know how to explain. It's very valuable.
Yeah,
to do it, and you know, thank God for the vision that the pastoral staff has here, from Pastor Stevens to my father to the elders. It's never changed.
Yeah.
Thank God for that, and we're a very unique ministry in that way. And there's nothing wrong with us boasting in that, because we love our church. We love the ministry that God's placed us in. I think we're very specific in the sense of what we do. We're not large scale by any means. We're very small scale, kind of like special forces going in, very small scale, but very specific in what we do. Mm. And our mission is, let's go out, let's evangelize. There's people in the city that are God's people. Let's find them. Let's have God bring them to us, and then let's train them.
Yeah.
And let's train them up in doctrine and in grace and the finished work. And then when our time's done, give it over to the local guy, whoever that guy is, and then move on. It's like a great kind of roadmap and strategy that's definitely, you can see the fruit of it 50 years in.
So in your church, I mean, you're in Fed Hill, and you have like a group of people, and you guys have done some local missions trips and also some overseas trips, right?
Yeah, I mean, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Not America. I mean,
yeah. I mean, they use USD. I think it's like considered a. I don't know how they the terminology. But, the
I mean, how do you? I mean, so first you. I mean, because this is where you know maybe where some people are today.
Yeah.
Like they have a small church.
Mm-hmm.
They hear this word mission field. It's a big, scary word.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've said it, and it scares people.
Mm-hmm.
To us, it's no big deal. Hop on a plane, go somewhere for 10 days, and come home.
Right.
What's the worst that could happen?
Right.
You know, you get food poisoning and sleep in the hotel. Yeah, that's the worst case scenario, right?
Sounds like it's happened.
Yes, it has. You know, but how do you like take away that stigma and encourage people who don't really know what missions is to go on the mission field?
Well, I think just experience, and you know, if you have a group of people, when we went to Puerto Rico, I think we had, I don't know, 30 plus people, some Bible college students, and then guys and ladies from the church in Fed Hill. We've done local ones in the States. I try to do like two or three of them a year. We went to Tennessee with the Wilczeks, saw Pastor Bailey, and then saw Ken Fires in January. So I like it personally just for the discipleship aspect, just to be with my guys for a few days.
Long van rides.
Yeah, I just see the value in it. You know, like if I always see the value in being with people, like one night's really good, two nights is even better.
Yeah.
3 days is like
too much.
Too much trying to get back home. No, I mean, it's just the more time you can spend with people, I feel like that's there's a lot of value in that. And then also to see these other church plants that are in these other parts of the country that are doing the same thing, saying the same thing, believing the same thing.
Yeah.
And you can see the fruit of that. So I want to do an overseas one, you know, I mean, the Puerto Rico, I guess we can count that one, but, since obviously with COVID and everything, it's,
well, I think this is the best way to teach. I mean, we're, you know, we're kind of asking the question, what is a mission field? And we, you know, we've answered it in many different ways, but really, I mean, it's just go and try it.
Yeah.
Like there's really, you know, like I love it when we're talking with the elders here about going, on the mission field. Like it was amazing because they said, no matter what happens, you come home a hero. You know, if you're gone for 4 weeks and you come home and be like, wow, that was the worst decision I ever made. It says, you know, you still tried it and you're a hero. Like there really is no reason why not to, you know, and we make these excuses, but the question is, you know, here I am living in the United States or wherever you're living. And you're like, could I set aside a little bit of money and a little bit of time to do like the work of God specifically for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. I mean, and there's nothing that you could exchange for just trying it and, you know, going with your pastor when he invites you.
I mean, yeah, it'd be fun. Yeah, I think that's great. I think Pastor Stan, you got Pastor Chris Harmon. I mean, you have just maybe the awesome thing about our ministry, too, is that we have conferences. So you get to know people. You get to know missionaries. You build a relationship. They invite you to come. And then to go like on a mission trip for a week or 2 weeks, like to me, those are like so valuable for the team. The person going doesn't realize how much of a blessing it is. They're having a great time, but also for the team to be able to be blessed. That's huge. But yeah, I mean, how are you going to know unless you just go out and you just do it and you try? I think if you're nervous about going to a smaller team and there's no program in the sense of a conference, go to the Eurocon.
Yeah.
Go with Pastor Shabelli to the conference they have there, or I just do it. I mean, just jump into it by faith if God's called you to do it, and just do it, and just God will show up and you'll be blessed by it.
Yeah. And you'll find God.
Yeah, you'll find God.
You will.
And maybe there won't be huge fireworks in the sense of like you're going to mission field and you're going to have these amazing experiences and come back with this amazing testimony. Maybe it's you just go there and you get to know the team members.
Yeah.
You get to know the pastor and his wife.
Yeah.
And you build a relationship with them.
Yeah.
I mean, relationships are like so important. It's the best thing in life, and we have it in the body because these are our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
And we get to go and to spend time with them for a few days. I mean, you can't go wrong.
No, you can't.
You can't.
So you heard him, guys. Pastor Justin said, just go.
Just go.
Just go.
It's simple.
Call the missions office here. Get the schedule. Find out when Pastor Justin's leaving. Or ask him to go with
you. That's undisclosed. Yeah. Yeah. So that was good. I mean, that was our personal, you know, kind of take on being on the mission field, our own testimony. And
yeah,
I think, you know, it's a good, they're going to be talking about it all week, and I think that's a good start to it.
Yeah, amen.
Yes. So thank you guys for joining us today with this conversation. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. But be sure to join us for our next show tomorrow, where they're going to be talking about the mission field and kind of just continuing on with the conversation we had today and what we talked about. So thank you so much for joining. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.